Our story takes us back to the period of the end of the first temple. So we had a series of kings in the northern tribes until the northern tribes were exiled. And then the Judean Empire remained for a long time afterwards until finally the Judean Empire was exiled and the temple was destroyed. One of the last kings we had was named Jehoiakim. There was Jehoiachin and then there was Jehoiakim. And Jehoiakim was wicked in his ways. He was one of the last Judean kings. And the Talmud tells us that when he died, engraved on his skull was the following curse from God. Zot ve'od acheret. This revenge I've taken, and there's one more waiting to come. And our story begins with the grandfather of Rav Preda, which was Rav Chiya bar Avuya. He was walking around in Jerusalem, and he came across a skull. So this was the skull of none other than that ancient Judean king, Jehoiakim. Now, the prophet Jeremiah had told Jehoiakim that because of his sinful ways, he would not receive a proper burial. He would be buried like a donkey. And so his bones would be scattered. And when Rav Preda's grandfather, Rav Chiya bar Avuya, came across the skull, so what he did was he tried to bury it. He puts it into the ground, and as he's walking away, he sees it starting to rise back out of the ground. He says, that's funny. Puts it back into the ground, and as he's walking away, it rises back out of the ground. So he takes a close look at the skull, and he sees engraved in its head is Zot ve'od acheret. God says, I've taken one revenge from you, Jehoiakim, for leading to the destruction of Israel, for leading to the destruction of the first temple. And there's still one more left to come. So he says, okay, I guess this is the fulfillment of the prophetic vision of Jeremiah, where Jeremiah said Jehoiakim would be buried like a donkey, and he would consistently be removed from the earth and his bones scattered again. So that's why the skull keeps coming up. So what's he going to do? He says, you know, Rav Chiya bar Avuya says, this was still one of our kings, you know. He was sinful and God cursed him, but he was a Judean king. He was from the Davidic dynasty. He was a king of Israel. It's not so respectful to leave his skull just rolling around. So what does he do? He took the skull, wrapped it around in fine silk, brought it home, and put it in a trunk. He puts it in the trunk, and he leaves. His wife comes in, and she says, gee, I wonder what my husband put in the trunk. So she opens the trunk, and she sees fine silk. She unravels the silk, and she finds a skull. She goes over to the neighbors and says, what do you make of this? My husband comes home, puts a skull in a trunk in fine silk. I never knew he had this skull. I don't know where he got the skull. What do you make of a husband that puts a skull in fine silk in a chest? So the neighbors said, well, he must have had an earlier love. This must have been a first wife or something. And he just can't depart with her. You have competition? She died, but he's holding on tight. So she wasn't about to let that happen. She took the skull and she vamped up the oven and she put it into the oven and she did it, but good. So he comes back home and he sees his chest is open. There's no skull. He looks around and he says, what'd you cook today? And obviously, when push came to shove, he looks in the oven and he sees the whole skull's being destroyed in the oven. And when he looked at it, he said, okay, now we know what God meant when God had engraved into his skull, this was one revenge, and there's still one more coming for you, Jehoiakim. And with that, the Gemara ends the story. The Gemara doesn't tell us anything else from the story. I thought that this story really has a lot of depth when we think about it. How would another husband react if he comes home and finds out that his wife took something he brought home? Because the neighbors, they know, right? The neighbors told her such a far-fetched story, and she bought it, right? And how did he react? In order for him to have that presence of mind, to realize, wait a second, that's the curse. Now God fulfilled it. You see, he didn't get upset. And that goes back to our conversation on Sunday. I don't remember who brought up the question about how to understand certain things that wives do. And I said, the question is, do you understand her? Meaning, are you reading her through your eyes or through her eyes? And I think there are a few other points we could learn from this. There seems to be a recurring theme in Judaism from the Torah already, that on the one hand we have a responsibility to try and make things work out well, and on the other hand God has his plan and God's going to see to it that it works whether you like it or not. And here you see it. Sometimes the exact action which is done to preclude a certain result leads to that result. Here you have this great sage, Rabbi Chiya bar Avuya. What was he trying to do? Just save the skull, right? Save it from disgrace. And he's the one that let it get its final punishment to be scorched. You have the same concept with Yosef and the brothers. They're trying to ensure he's never going to be king, and they lead him to being a master of the world, really, to being king of the world. And we see this as a recurring theme, which is interesting, that it seems like we're supposed to notice this in the way the world works. We have to try, but we have to also know that God has his plan. Our responsibility is still to try. In Yiddish they have a saying, Mensch tocht, man tries, ve Gott locht, and God laughs. You know, we try, and God looks down and says, okay, that's nice. But we do have to try. So this is the story of Joachim's skull.